Thank you, Barb. Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians chapter 3 in your Bible this evening. As you're turning, there's several things I'd like to say. First of all, I appreciate your prayer this week. My wife and I will be leaving very early in the morning to go down to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Well, I'll be taking another class. I appreciate the opportunity that the church gives me a couple times a year to get away and take another seminary-level class just to sharpen up a little bit more. You say, well, Mark, aren't you kind of tired of education? Aren't you kind of tired of going to school? Well, it takes a long time to educate an idiot. So I'm having to work at it for a while, but I appreciate the opportunity to get away and do that. So I'll be gone Monday through Friday. Of course, Pastor Lopez will be here and on call 24 hours a day. Of course, you can always reach him. And, it'd be nice when Pastor Monty would leave and I was the only one here. Something always came up. Somebody died or, something. It'd be nice if you could manufacture a small crisis for him this week. I think he deserves that. Just a small one, nothing major. Don't burn the church down. Just a small crisis this week for him. But he will be here, seriously, if you need him. I know that he'll be glad for you to get in touch with him. Colossians chapter 3. This evening I want to talk to you about the matter of Christian service. Christian service. And so before we begin, I need to say a couple things for your comfort. Because I realize that I am talking to a group of people who work, collectively speaking, harder probably than any other church I've ever been a part of. We have some great servants in this church. We have some people who really catch a vision for a program, for a ministry, and give their heart to it. And that was no more evident than in Vacation Bible School last week. So many of you put more time, more effort into it than I did. My part was a little 15-minute starter out in the tent. And there really wasn't much to that, but many of you were here every night working with the kids, serving food, just in so many places you were helping out. And I know you're a group of servants. But I think we're all, we could potentially succumb to the temptation to be less than the servant we ought to be for the Lord. And the Lord's directed my attention this evening to this passage in Colossians. So I want you to know I'm not addressing this subject tonight because of a problem that I see. In fact, I commend so many of you for your service and your faithfulness to the Lord and to your church. But the Lord's directed my attention to this passage, so I think we can receive it tonight as a good warning for each of us. Colossians chapter 3, and let's begin our reading with verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doth wrong shall receive for the wrong he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. I want to give to you a message this evening that I've titled The Full Service Christian. The Full Service Christian. Let's pray. Precious Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts through your word this evening. Help us to be attentive. And Lord, help us to examine our own lives tonight, not the lives of others. Help us examine our own lives and answer honestly if we are what we should be or not. And then, Lord, help us to set about by your grace and through your Holy Spirit's power to be what we ought to be in the area of Christian service. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I wonder how many in this room are old enough to remember the days when a gas station was more than a gas station. When you go today, it's interesting that we call them gas stations. Years ago, we would have called them service stations because you did more than just get gas there. Now, I realize now that you can still go in and you can purchase your candy bars and your Cokes and things like that. But in the olden days, if I may say that, and I can even remember a couple stations that handled things like this when I was a kid. In the olden days, back when I was a little boy, and for some of you much older than that, I can remember driving into a service station and seeing above the pump the sign, full service. And someone would come out to your car and they would ask you, I don't know if there was an option for gas back then, but if there was an option for the different octanes, they'd ask you what kind of gas you wanted and how much you wanted in. You want a dollar's worth, which might have filled a tank at one time, I don't know. You want a couple dollars worth, you want $5 worth. And they'd take the pump while you sat in the comfort of your own car and they would fill your car up for you. But if that wasn't enough, they'd ask you to pop the hood. And then they'd raise the car and they'd reach down toward the engine block and pull out the dipstick and they'd check the oil. And if it was a little low, they'd offer to top it off for you. Then they'd perhaps clean the windshield. And they'd be very careful with that squeegee as they ran it across the windshield. They left no streak marks, no dripping water. They were out to serve you fully. They wanted to give you everything that you needed and asked for at that moment. Perhaps if you really wanted to get out of your car at one of these old gas stations, you could have gotten out and you could have walked over to perhaps out on the sidewalk in front of the store, or maybe just inside the door of the service station, and you could have plunged your hand down, and you know where I'm going? You could have plunged your hand down into an ice chest, not a refrigerator door. Not a walk-in. Those just don't get things cold enough, do they? You could have plunged your hands down into an ice chest and pulled out a cold Coca-Cola. And that would have been the hardest part of the entire trip for you, because that station was setting out to provide full service for you. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about the full-service Christian. Because as we began to transition out of full-service stations, we had two lines. You remember what the other line was? Well, we see it all the time now. It's self-service. Self-service. You had the full-service attendant, but now when you drive into a gas station, you have to go in and you have to pump the gas for yourself. They have the squeegee at most of the gas stations, but you have to clean your windshield yourself. Who knows if they're going to have oil or not, and if you want it checked, you're going to have to do it yourself. Well, I want to ask you tonight, are you a Christian like the man who pulls into a service station at the self-service side? Are you a Christian who's always doing stuff for yourself? Or are you like the gas station attendant of a full-service station who is setting out to do everything that God wants you to do and to do it the way that He wants you to do it? Now, I need to take just a moment this evening and deal with the context of this passage, because I can already tell some of you Bible scholars are staring at me. And you're saying in your mind, don't you know what this passage is talking about? Yes, I do. So let's give credit to the context, and then we'll move on to an application that will help us in our lives tonight. First of all, let me tell you this about context. There are two mistakes that are made regarding context in preaching. The first one is often made by fundamentalists when they're ignorant fundamentalists. Now, not all fundamentalists are ignorant. I'm thankful for that. But when they're an ignorant fundamentalist, here's the mistake that's made with context. He preaches a message with no attention given to the context. So he ends up saying something that God never intended. But then there is another mistake that's often made by the person who fancies himself to be an intellectual. And that mistake is that he ties the passage so strongly to the context that it can't be applied to everyday Christian life. Now, I want to make neither of those mistakes tonight, so let me give you the context, and I think you'll see what I mean by that illustration. The context here is that Paul, as he's writing to the church at Colossae in Asia Minor, he's writing to them and he's telling them, he's giving them admonitions about duties in the Christian home. It begins back in verse 18 where he says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband." In verse 19, it says, "Husbands, love your wives." In verse 20, it says, "Children, obey your parents in all things." And then in verse 22, it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters." Now, this is by no means a commendation or a recommendation of slavery, but slavery existed then. There were Christians who had bond slaves in their homes. Paul goes on to say in chapter 4, hey, you need to treat your slaves or your servants correctly. But many of the Christian homes in Colossae were comprised by dads and by moms and by children and then by servants. So therefore, the moms or the dads were the masters in that home. So the servants that were being referred to are really slaves. But we want to look at it tonight and look at these admonitions, realizing that you and I as believers, those who trusted Christ as Savior, are the servants, are the bond slaves of the Lord Jesus. Paul actually referred to himself that way. We are bound in service to the Lord, but that's not a sad thing. That's a wonderful thing. So the responsibilities that Paul spoke of a servant or a slave to his master, are the same responsibilities that you and I have to the Lord tonight. Therefore, we talk about the full-service Christian. Our service as believers must be rendered in full obedience to the biblical mandate. Full obedience to the biblical mandate. I want us tonight to look at just three simple things, and this won't take very long. I want you to see three things that are not said in this passage about our obedience and our service, but I want you to see three things that are said about obedience in this passage. First of all, if you look, it says servants, verse 22, servants, obey in all things. Here's what that tells me. Number one, my service, it should not be selective service, but consecrated service. Not selected service or selective service, but consecrated service. Now you say, is it possible to obey or to serve the Lord in a selective sort of way? Is it possible to do that? Well, let me ask you a question. Is it possible to obey and be selective about it? Is it possible to obey in part, but not obey in whole? I submit to you that it is. How many of you husbands have ever gone to the grocery store before your wife? And she's given you a list. And I'll never forget, just a few weeks ago, I went down to Meijer, and I was supposed to get Tide detergent. And I thought for sure that I was supposed to get the powder detergent, because everybody knows the powder detergent does a better job than the liquid detergent, because it's kind of abrasive, you know, you got to have the powder detergent. Well, I bought powder detergent, and it was supposed to be liquid detergent. See, as far as I was concerned, I had obeyed my wife, but I didn't do it to the letter. I didn't get her exactly what she wanted. How many of you ever had your spouse before tell you, sweetheart, I need you to go pick up some things. I'd like for you to get me a gallon of 2% milk. Why anybody would drink that, I don't know. That's nasty stuff. It's got to be whole milk all the way. Makes you healthy like me. But anyway, get 2% milk, get a bag of whole wheat bread and some extra sharp cheddar cheese, because everybody knows extra sharp's the best way to go. All right, so then you go into the grocery store and you come back with exactly what she asked for. She asked for, see, your wife said 2% milk, whole wheat bread, 100% whole wheat bread, Pauline, that's right. 100% whole wheat bread and extra sharp cheddar cheese, has to be Kraft brand, somebody says. I don't know if it has to be Kraft brand, but those are the three things. And you're thinking, the husband, this is what he heard. He heard, get milk, bread, and cheese, right? So he goes to the store and he gets milk, bread, and cheese. And he gets whole wheat, but he doesn't get the 100% whole wheat. He gets the stuff that's covered with colored with the caramel color. You know, it's not the real 100% whole wheat. So he doesn't get the right bread. And then he's looking at the milk and she said something about the milk. Get something about the milk. Well, the whole must be better than the 2%, so I'll get the whole. Get her the best, you know. And so he gets the whole milk. And then he looks around at the cheese. Man, I didn't know there were so many different kinds of cheeses. Well, I'll get this white cheese. I'll get this white cheese right here. And so he picks up some kind of white cheese and he goes back home. And he gives it to his wife, and his wife's not going to be very happy. Why? Because he obeyed in part. We sometimes refer to that as selective hearing. You know, a lot of your spouses have selective hearing. Well, that's selective obedience. Obeying in part, but not obeying in whole, in complete. Obeying or serving in part, but not serving in whole. Selective service or selective obedience, but not consecrated service. We need to be consecrated servants of the Lord. The word consecrate means to fill or to be full. Therefore, we want to consecrate our lives to the Lord. God requires complete surrender of the believer. Paul admonished the church at Rome. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, which is your reasonable service. He encouraged them to give themselves in total. Pastor Phillips mentioned that this morning when receiving the offering. To give ourselves in total, not to hold back areas of our life from God. Oh, I'll give you this, God, but I'm not going to give you everything. I'm going to hold some things back. This is going to be partial obedience for me. This is going to be partial service. God's not interested in that. He wants consecrated service, not selective service. God requires complete obedience. Take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 14. I want you to notice a verse tonight. Joshua chapter 14. A few months ago, we taught through the book of Joshua briefly in our Sunday school class and foundations class that meets in Porter Hall. And I loved it when I got to chapter 14 and got to read a little bit about the character Caleb. We have a song in our songbook called Caleb's Song. It's I Want That Mountain. But Caleb wanted a mountain that had been promised to him by Moses. It was his portion of inheritance in the land of Canaan. And he was faithful. He was one of the faithful men when the land was spied out. He was one of the faithful who said, obviously we can go in and take the land because God's promised to give it to us. Even though there were 10 who discouraged the people with their bad report after spying the land. But look at chapter 14 and verse 8, what he says. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. In other words, the 10 spies that went with me to spy out the land, they made the heart of the people melt. Now, this is 40 years after the fact. 40 years after the spies had went in, Caleb's waiting for his inheritance. He's over 80 years old now, and he says in verse 8, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. See that word holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y? It's not used many times in Scripture, but it's used three times in this chapter to refer to Caleb. He did not serve the Lord in part. He served the Lord in total. By the way, this is the picture that we get from the word integrity. Integrity, what is an integer in math? It's a whole number, right? It's something that's whole. It's not a fraction. It's a whole number. That is an integer. Are you a whole person? Is your life farmed out to service for Satan over here a little bit? Service to self over here a little bit? And I've got some areas in which I like to serve the Lord too. See, that's not a person of integrity. That's a broken person. But he said, Caleb said to Joshua, I wholly follow the Lord. Don't forget, I did everything he asked me to do of him. Boy, can we say that? You read of the Apostle Paul, and so often he says to those to whom he writes in his epistles, he says, listen, I encourage you to look at me and follow me as your example. Boy, I'm not comfortable saying that tonight. But the Apostle Paul did. That tells me the Apostle Paul must have been a man who wholly followed the Lord. This quote that I want to share with you tonight next is often attributed to D.L. Moody, but D.L. Moody actually was not the origin of this quote. D.L. Moody was visiting in Britain on his very first preaching occasion over there, and he met an evangelist, Mr. Henry Varley, a well-known evangelist in Britain. They sat together on a seat in a public park in Dublin, Ireland, and the evangelist said these words to D.L. Moody, and they rang in his heart and mind and became a theme for his life. He said this, the world has yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in the man by whom, and in and by the man who is fully consecrated to him. Since I messed it up, let me read it one more time so you can get this. The world has yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in and by the man who is fully consecrated to him. The world's yet to see that. But then D.L. Moody went on to say that he wanted to do his best to be that man. You know, that ought to be the goal of every Christian in here tonight. To be so wholly consecrated to the Lord that we hold nothing back from Him. And if we know that He desires something of us, we're quick to give it to Him. If we know that He wants us to do something in an area of service for Him, we very eagerly engage in that task. Because the Lord wants consecrated Christians. He says, servants, obey in all things, not in part. You know, this is true, and I just give you this tonight from experience, but I think it's backed up in Scripture as well. When we withhold something from the Lord, it matters not how many wonderful areas we're obeying the Lord in. When the Lord asks us for something and we hold back, our Christian life suffers. It's hard for us to be in tune with the Word of God and in tune with His Holy Spirit when He's asked us for something and we say, but you don't understand, Lord. I'm not ready to go that far. Boy, I don't want my family to think I'm a fanatic. Boy, I don't want church to become my life. It's wonderful to have church and the things of God be your life. It's really wonderful. It might take a little getting used to for some of you, but it's a wonderful thing. I love it that way. I'm so glad. I mean, I know that everybody can't do this, but I'm just thrilled that I don't have to worry about working another job. That sometimes pastors refer to it when they have to as moonlighting, working another job so that they can be a pastor. I'm glad I don't have to do that. I'm glad that I can give all of my attention during the day to ministry at Faith Baptist Church. That's a pleasure. But you know, it ought to be all of our desires to do things for the Lord, whether we have a secular occupation or not, every opportunity we get to serve the Lord in some capacity, to give our lives so wholly to Him that consumes our thoughts all the time. That's what God expects of us. That's what the word consecrated means. And that's what God means when He says, servants, obey in all things. Go back to Colossians again here. I want you to notice a second point. We said, first of all, this service that God requires of us is not selective service or partial service. It's consecrated service. But secondly, I want you to see it's not political service. It's not political service, but it's sincere service. Look at verse 22 again. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Not with eye service as men pleasers. That tells me that this is not a political kind of service. Don't you just get tired of watching politicians stump? Don't you get tired of the stumping that goes on? It's so pleasant when a presidential or a congressional campaign is over. because you actually have a few days of a breather before they start up again for the next election cycle. I tell you, one of the things that most impresses me about President Bush is he's very reluctant, and you can tell that he's always very uncomfortable bragging on himself. You notice that about him? He's had to get used to some of it, I guess, to keep up with the other politicians. But he seems very uncomfortable when he talks about the things that he's accomplished. And I've really never heard him phrase anything personally that he's accomplished. He's always talking about his administration, this, that, and the other, trying to deflect the praise to others as well. I can't say that necessarily of his predecessor. In fact, today, if you find President Bill Clinton, whether he be speaking in Indianapolis or somewhere else, he's going to have to tell you about a few of the wonderful things that he did for us while he was in office. And a lot of other politicians are like that as well. That seems to be the political way of doing things. I'm going to do things so that men will see me. I'm going to do them while they're being seen, and I'm going to do them to please other men. But the Bible says that Christian service should not be like that. We don't do things to please others. We do things to please God. Those of us who had the opportunity to go last year, actually in January of this year, to hear Dr. David Gibbs preach up in Muncie at the annual IFBF men's meeting, we heard him tell a story about his secretary who recently went home to be with the Lord. Brother Gibbs will be with us on October 28th for Homecoming Sunday this year. He told a story about this secretary, and I'll never be able to tell it as well as he did. But basically what happened, he talked about how she was quite a servant. And he wandered into the building one night, a nice new building that they had for just a few years. And he found his secretary at 2 in the morning, down on her hands and knees, going up and down the baseboards in the hallway with a toothbrush. You know how the dust tends to build up close to the baseboards? Darren, you clean carpet. I bet you see this a lot. That dust builds up. She was down there dragging that dust out, cleaning things up carefully. Brother Gibbs found her, and she was utterly embarrassed. She said, Brother Gibbs, please don't tell anybody that I've done this. I just saw that the baseboards needed cleaning, and I wanted to do it. A secretary at 2 in the morning doing what needed to be done. Boy, if a secretary could do that off the clock, then shouldn't we as volunteer Christians, as believers who love the Lord, be just as eager to serve the Lord in some capacity without desiring credit? We don't do it to please men. We do it to please God. I have to believe that some of our reward will be lost because what we did in obedience to the Lord in this life, we did not do in the manner in which He instructed us to do it. Because He's instructed us not only to obey, not only to serve, but to do it in a way that we're not trying to please somebody else. It should not be political service. It should be sincere service. Simply because we love the Lord, we're seeking to do these things for Him. So it's not selective service, but consecrated service. It's not political service, but sincere service. But then I want you to notice number 3, it's not compulsory service. Now that word's not in the passage, but I think it's inferred here. It's not compulsory service, it's heart service. Look at verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord. You know, I'm not trying to be funny when I say this. I'm very serious. You've heard, I think preacher said this recently. I'm not trying to be funny. I really am serious when I say this. I looked this up in the Greek, and this is what it says. Do it heartily unto the Lord. I kind of excited me just to see it laid out in the Greek, though. It's got the prefix eggs, which means out of, is attached to this verb here. Do it heartily. Do it out of your heart is exactly like it would read if you were going to translate it word for word literally, which we don't do because it's hard to read that way. But if you're going to, you do it out of your heart. Do you labor out of your heart? The first word do here that you see is different. It's the common word for do. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. And that second word is a word for more intense, a laborious kind of thing. Whatever you do, whatever you accomplish, whatever you seek to do in this life, labor from your heart. We call it a labor of love. Is that the way you serve the Lord? Do you do it from your, do you labor? Do you labor from your heart? How many of you ever gone to bed before just thoroughly exhausted? Talked to Bronson this morning. He was helping move, I guess this would be his grandparents-in-law. He was helping move them in. And he told me he was sore this morning. They're moving in just across the street from my house. And he said, I looked for you all day long. And I said, I saw the moving truck and stayed inside. But that's not really what happened. I was gone most of the day. But you know, as believers, we have the opportunity and we should take advantage of the opportunity to serve the Lord from our heart. But sometimes our bodies get tired when we move, when we're going through a week of VBS. Pastor Lopez had talked about this recently, how he was just worn teetotally out. I think Thursday night and Friday, he had to go home a couple of hours early. Of course, he was back that night, just couldn't stay away. But he was just so worn out physically from the week, from driving the bus until 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. It was a very difficult thing for him to do. It hurt him physically, and so now he's got to recover. But have you ever put your heart into something so much that you just felt like you were completely, teetotally worn out and exhausted? That's the way it ought to be. When we give our heart to God, when we give our heart in service to the Lord, it's something that can at times be totally exhausting. And then we need to take opportunities, of course, to renew our strength. But we need to give it our all. Let me just give you a couple things that you can remember about this idea of heart service. First of all, think that heart service involves an inner motivation. Secondly, heart service involves an inner expectation. Got those two words? Motivation and expectation. What is the motivation? Number one, it means that you can give your all. You give your all. If you're doing it from your heart, you're giving it your all. You're not just doing it because it's expected of you. You're giving it your very, very best. Isn't it wonderful to go to sleep at night exhausted and think, I couldn't squeeze another thing into this day? I don't know about you, but I like that. I feel like I've accomplished something when I lay my head down and I feel like I've done everything I could possibly do during the day. You give it your all. That's what an inner motivation of a heart of the heart gives you. You give it your all because you want to. How about that? Not because you feel obligated to, not because it's your Christian obligation, but because you want to. And then finally, you give it your all because you want to out of your love for the Lord. How many of you remember when you were dating? Do you remember how much time you spent preparing special little things for your sweetheart when you were dating? My wife and I didn't date the whole time I was in college. It took me 8 semesters to find somebody that would date me. And I actually decided I wasn't going to waste my time with that. And I don't regret it. But my last semester, my wife and I started courting on campus. And we were frequenting the varsity commons and other places where you could go together, you know, the student commons and kind of hanging out together. But she was very busy. She had a heavy semester. It was my last semester, and I had so worked my classes that I only had 12 credits, which is a very light load, my last semester, and I had a lot of free time. And do you know, nearly every night, I would sit in my, you're going to laugh at me, I would sit in my room, and I would take out crayons and markers and construction paper, and I would make her some clever card. I remember one day she didn't really make fun of it. She just laughed when I told her about a Looney Tunes tie that I had worn one time on a dare. As you can probably imagine, that's not my typical attire. And I told her about it, and she thought it was really funny. So that night I went home, and I had some Looney Tunes stickers, and I drew out this black tie, and you opened the tie up, and that was the card. It opened and shut like that, and I stuck these Looney Tunes stickers all over it. And I mean, it looked classy. She's still got some of these things, you know. We played Phase 10, and I made a Phase 10 card. You know, I spent time every night doing something special for my sweetheart. Do you know what motivated me to do that? I loved her. Do you love the Lord? Then do you spend time in His service? You see, when we love someone, it motivates us to do things for them. And we should serve the Lord because of an inner motivation that causes us to give our all because we want to out of a heart that loves the Lord. But heart service doesn't just involve an inner motivation. It involves an inner expectation. Did you notice this? Verse 24. Knowing that the Lord of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, I want you to notice this. It is not wrong to serve the Lord in order to get reward. Did you know that? It would be wrong for you to serve the Lord in order to get recognition from a human. But if you are working with the Lord's promised return and the Lord's promised reward in mind, that's scriptural. We work knowing that the work that we do, the service that we give, will not go unnoticed by our Lord. We know that the Lord will reward us. We have an inner expectation of that. You look forward to the Lord's return. We serve the Lord Christ. I was just thinking when I read this passage, I was imagining something that we do often around here. Pastor Monty spends his mornings scheduling lunch and his afternoons scheduling. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, we do eat out a lot, though, around here. And we'll go down to El Rodeo down the street or the Paragon. He'll have a favorite for about 3 months and then he'll skip to something else. I don't think it's El Rodeo anymore because he hardly goes there anymore. But for a while it was the Paragon. Then it was that Jimmy John's sandwich place. And then it was El Rodeo. And I don't know where he's at now. Acapulco Joe's or something like that, I think. And he has these different favorite places he loves to eat. But, you know, if I were to go in with Pastor Monty and the pastors were to sit down and eat lunch and Bill Gates walked in to have dinner at the same establishment, I can imagine that the servers, we don't call them waiters or waitresses anymore, do we? I think we will. I can imagine that the waitresses would be clamoring to serve at Bill Gates' table before they served at mine and Pastor Monty's table. Don't you think? I mean, just look at me. Don't you think Bill Gates is probably likely to give a better tip than I would? Probably. You know, they would want to serve Bill Gates because of the reward they could get for their service. Hey, listen, we serve the Lord Christ. There is no greater reward than we could enjoy than the reward that the Lord will give to us when we serve Him in obedience and we serve Him like He's told us to serve Him. When we consecrate our lives to Him. When we, not serving as eye service or serving to please men, but we serve with sincerity. And when we serve from the heart because we love Him, because we want to give our all to Him. We look forward to the Lord's soon return and we look forward to reward. That's that inner expectation that heart service gives to us. But secondly, I want you to see here a more somber tone in verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. That's a pretty serious ending. He that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. Now the command is to obey, but then it goes on to say, do what you do from the heart. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. So there's two ways you could disobey here. You could flat refuse to serve, or you could serve as a man pleaser. You could serve as someone who is just serving in part but not in full, withholding something from the Lord. Or you could serve out of a sense of duty or obligation instead of serving from the heart. Any of those options violates the command here in Scripture and puts us in line for a loss of reward instead of a reception of reward. You know, the Bible does teach that both in 1 and 2 Corinthians, at the judgment seat of Christ where believers will stand, there will be both a reward, and for some there will be a withholding of reward. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're going to get reward. Sure, you get heaven, you have the Lord, but we're serving the Lord realizing that He's going to reward us as we serve Him here upon this earth, and that should be our desire. So, you ask yourself the question tonight, are you a full service Christian? Or are you a self-service Christian? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The instruments will begin to play in just a moment. If the Lord spoke into your heart about your service for the Lord, I realize this sermon's coming on the tail end of a very hard working week for many, many of you. But it's a good opportunity for us while we're slowing down a little bit to stop and ask ourselves the question, am I serving the Lord for the right reasons? Am I serving Him out of sincerity or because I want to please somebody? Am I serving the Lord from my heart or am I doing it just simply because I think it's my Christian duty? Am I serving the Lord and giving Him everything or is there something that He and I know I am withholding? You answer the question for yourself. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, as we sing together number 270, Just As I Am, you come if the Lord spoke.